Well, today is the start of a new year, and it's a time when I always like to do a little bit of reflection and direction. And to introduce this, I wonder, did you grow up in a family where your parents recorded your growth from year to year? Sometimes we do that on a door sill or some other place, but you write down the year, you write down the height, you write down the name, and then every year you can see how much you've grown from year to year. Well, while that's kind of neat to do with kids that are growing up, we get to a point where we no longer grow vertically. But God's in the business of helping people grow spiritually. And I just kind of wonder, have you ever measured your spiritual growth from year to year? In other words, did you grow in your faith, in your relationship to God this past year? If so, great. If not, you probably ought to wonder why not. And what about this new year? Do you plan to grow more in this new year? Well, what are you going to do about it? Well, in the first part of this message, I want us to reflect a little bit on our growth together over this past year. For those of you that have been a part of the church family for some time, this will be a review for you. If you came at some point during this year, some of these things will look new and different, but you'll get to see what we've been learning and the ways we've been growing. And then you'll probably remember, oh yeah, this is the time when we came into the church family. So we started off 2025 with a really great study in the Old Testament book of Daniel. Remember this? In the sermon series, Walking Tall in Babylon, we followed the narrative of four young men who were part of a Jewish nation that was hauled away into slavery in Babylon. They all stood up in a culture that did not honor the one true and living God, and they made their way to show the king and the others who the true God was. It was a great series for us to learn because in our culture, in which many are turning away from God, it gave us great strength and courage to watch how these young men took a stand for their faith. And then in the run-up to Resurrection Sunday, we used some materials that came from the people who produce The Chosen in this special sermon series called Last Supper.
Listen carefully. Because I'm going to tell you what is about to happen.
This is my father's word. Oh, let me God is the ruler yet.
And I think during that sermon series, it helped us all reflect on what the Last Supper was all about and helped us to see it in a very special way. Since last spring, they have been in development of season 6 of The Chosen, which is going to focus on the Passion Week and the crucifixion of Christ. And that should be coming out later this year. So if you're a fan of The Chosen and are watching it, get ready, because this is going to be an intense season. After Resurrection Sunday, we talked about the reality of how sometimes things don't always go the way that we think they will. And we talked about how to deal with that. About that, even though we may be following God, it doesn't exempt us from some of the pain and suffering that sometimes happens in this world. And this is one of the reasons why I think it's important to follow God as a part of a church family, so that when somebody else is going through it, we can give the love and support from the church family to help them. But also then, if we go through a dark valley, there's people to love and serve and take care of us. God said he will never forsake us or abandon us. He's very close to the brokenhearted and those whose spirits are crushed, but he often reaches out to hurting people through us as a church family. And then as we hit summertime, we took a little bit of a break and we talked about some amazing stories from the Bible. This is a sermon series I love to do often in the summer times, where the sermons aren't necessarily connected in a series, but it gives us a chance to look at some more of the obscure accounts in Scripture that I would say fall under the category of amazing stories. The next sermon series, we looked at a reluctant prophet who decided he wanted to run from God. God calls you to do something, it's never a good idea to run the other way. Our next sermon series was about a famous parable of Jesus.
You're lost and wandering, come stumbling in like a prize.
wide.
And in this series, we talked about the young man who ran away from his father with half the inheritance and wasted it on wild living. And then he had an aha moment. He had a sudden awakening. He was confronted with brutal honesty, and it turned into immediate action. And while we think the focus is on the son, the heart of the story we learned is about a God who welcomes us home with open arms when we come to him. And then in the fall, we had an extended sermon series that was about leadership in the church.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow.
In this series, we learned about the structure of leadership that God has organized for his church, that Jesus is the head, he's the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords, and it's his church. And we learned that he appointed elders to serve and lead in each church. And then we have ministry leaders who serve under the leadership of the elders to help organize the ministries in the church. One of my favorite parts of this series was at the end, where we were actually able to practice some appreciation for Steve, who has served as an elder for more than 10 years. And thank you so much for your cards and gifts that were given to him to show that appreciation. And then most recently, we celebrated Christmas with a look at the wise men. Course of the last several weeks, we learned about the significance of the gifts that were brought to worship Jesus. Gold for the king, frankincense for the priest, and myrrh for the Savior. And so all amazing gifts to recognize who Jesus really was. So if you were with us last year, as we reflect on things, we learned some really good stuff. And we grew in some really significant ways. But now, as the page is turning from 2025 to 2026, we want to take a look at a little direction of where we're going to go. To begin this, I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 960. We're going to read verse 2, but we are going to read another verse in this chapter, so keep your Bibles open there. We just went through the letters of 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus in Adult Bible Fellowship last fall when we were in our leadership series. These are often called the pastoral epistles. They were written to young preachers, Timothy in Ephesus and Titus in Crete. And Paul in chapter 2, verse 2, gives them a very simple mission. Well, it's simple to understand, but it's the challenge for the church to do. Listen to what Paul says here. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Do you see the progression there? Paul, the great apostle, came to Timothy, called him to come alongside him. He taught him. He trained him. He made him into a disciple of Jesus Christ. Timothy heard these teachings. And Paul is saying, you've heard me teach you. Now you need to teach others. You need to pass this on to others who will learn it and be reliable to tell others so that the message will continue. And because Paul did what he did, and Timothy did what he did, and the people in the church of Ephesus did what they did, generation after generation, we are recipients of this word of God that was passed down. And that is the mission of the church today. We are to continue to teach these things to reliable people who will be able to pass them on and teach others. Now, some of you may be sitting here today and said, well, I came to learn and hear something today. I'm not a teacher. Well, that's something that God wants you to grow into becoming. And you don't have to know everything. The beautiful part about being a Christian is you share what you know. But you should not be content with what you already know. And that's the next verse that I want to share with you. If you jump down to verse 15 in this same chapter, look at the encouragement that Paul gives young Timothy. He says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. And that's what the Lord, I believe, wants for all of us. You know, in our adult Bible fellowship this morning, we talked about the church at Ephesus and the revelation from Jesus that was given to them. And they were commended for their hard work and their patient endurance. And they did not tolerate false teaching. And in the same way, that's what Paul was telling Timothy that he needs to do. You need to put some effort into this. You need to grow so that you can pass these things on to other people. He says, be a good worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, who correctly explains the word of truth. And what I hope we can do as we grow together is get beyond what happens in many churches. You have a friend who has a spiritual question, and instead of studying it out and finding an answer, some people say, well, you need to go talk to the preacher. I don't really know about that. We are building here disciples who can answer questions, who can talk to other people, and we have some marvelous ways in which to do it. But you know, coming to worship service is only one thing that we offer here to help you grow. We've talked a little bit about the sermon series, and I hope that you are blessed by the teachings from the Word of God. But if you're going to grow this year, it may be more than you did last year, maybe there's some ways you need to step it up a little bit so you can be like Timothy, who decided, I'm going to pursue my spiritual growth this year in a different way than I did before. One of the things that we offer is our adult Bible fellowship. If you've never been there, it's different than any class that you've ever attended because we don't have one teacher teaching everybody. We have what I like to call cooperative learning. We read scripture together. Each week we focus on one chapter of the Bible and we read it during the week and we pray and we ask God to help us understand what we're reading. If possible, every day we read that one chapter and just soak it in, marinate in it. And then we ask you to put down the answers to four questions. Just a little summary of what the chapter's about. What's the best verse in that chapter? And most importantly, what am I challenged to do? What's my application? And then the fourth question was anything difficult for me to understand. We call it the ABCD Bible study method. What's it about? What's the best verse? What's the challenge? What's the difficulty? And right now, we are at the point where we are going through the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 2 right now. And so if you've never tried it, I'll tell you what, we have some of the people in our group that have said, man, I've never studied the Bible this way before, but it's great. And I never want to study a different way again. But what happens when we get together is we all share about the things that God's been teaching us during the week, and it makes for a very rich study together. Another thing that we make available here at the church is what we call the iChurch Workshop. This is something that's designed for people who are new to the church family. If you came to the church in 2025, you probably haven't heard us do one of these yet, but we are going to do one. This is an afternoon workshop. We invite you to stay after church one Sunday. We feed you lunch, and then we talk a little bit about what does it mean to be part of a church family. We learn a little bit of history. We learn a little bit about who we are as the Hamersville Church of Christ, and it's a great way to get everybody on the same page. If you've never attended the iChurch workshop, I want to invite you to do that. The next time we're going to offer it is the last Sunday of this month, January 25th. I wanted to tell you today, so you've got a couple weeks to get ready. But we have a sign-up sheet out in the lobby, and if you would like to make reservations, and we kind of need to know so we have enough food for everybody. But we will feed you. If you have children, we'll provide childcare, and it'll be a great day. Another way that we have for you to learn and grow is what we call our discipleship training. This is not a class. It's not something that you come to like a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. It's a very small relational training to learn what God's Word says on some very important issues. It's a study of 10 sessions that gives you the basics about the Christian faith. And the idea is one person meets with another person, and they share, and then those two people are equipped, and they can go and share it with two other people, who then turn around and share it with more people, who then are equipped to turn around and share it with more people, who then turn around and share it with more people. Do you see 2 Timothy 2:2 here? You've heard these things, and now you pass them on to other people who will be reliable to pass them on to other people, and that is how the church grows. Again, it's not a class. It happens in relationship, and we have men and women that are equipped to help lead you through discipleship training. So if you've never been through the training, I highly recommend you this year to think about doing that, and we'll get you set up. But the whole goal here is so more and more people can come to know Jesus. Some of you that are newer to the church family maybe walked in and saw these signs that are up hanging around everywhere. I shared this idea a few years ago when I first came. A lot of times when we read the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel, we kind of get overwhelmed because we don't know everybody in the world. We don't know the languages, we don't know the culture, and we think, well, golly, I can't do all of that, and so we don't do much of anything at all. But what if your prayer to the Lord this year was, Lord, help me share my faith with one person. Use me to bring one person to faith in you this year. You know, the interesting thing is God will answer those kind of prayers. But in order for you to pass your faith along, you got to be trained, which is what the iChurch and discipleship training are for. The sermons on Sunday are a part of your regular feeding. But what if your prayer for 2026 is, God, help me bring one person to faith in Christ this year? Is that more doable than go into all the world and preach the gospel? It's more doable for me. I hope it'll be more doable for you. And now, after we've done some of this reflection, I want to share with you a direction for where we're going to go with our sermon series next week. Last year, we did the Old Testament book of Daniel, and I got a lot of good feedback from that. Many of our sermons come from the New Testament, but the Old Testament is rich with history, and it's rich with applications, even for us in the church today. And you know, as God is building his church here in Hamersville, he uses ordinary people to do his extraordinary work. And it reminds me of a man in the Old Testament who was kind of an ordinary guy. He didn't have a great education. He didn't have all that great of a job. In fact, he was a servant. And yet God put a fire in his heart to help him build the kingdom. His name was Nehemiah. And we're going to do a sermon series starting next week that's called Build Your Kingdom Here. And it's going to be an invitation to God to help us build and be the church that he wants us to be. And this book of Nehemiah from Old Testament history has some very rich things for us to learn. Our environment is not nearly as hostile as the one that Nehemiah faced. But I think as we study this book, we are going to be greatly encouraged for how we can be a part of building his kingdom here. So that's where we're going to go next week. So my challenge for you today is this. How much will you grow this year in 2026? How can you step up your spiritual growth? Maybe you were doing okay in 2025, but there are some things that you heard from Paul's encouragement to Timothy. I need to step it up. I need to learn how to handle the word of truth. Do you need to start going beyond Sunday morning worship? Do you need to step into adult Bible fellowship? It's a good place. If you're newer to the church family, do you need to sign up for the iChurch workshop and say, I want to find out what that's about? Are you ready to take the next step in discipleship training? What is it that God is putting on your heart to grow this year? Will this be the year that you actually are able to share your faith with at least one other person and see them come to faith in Christ and maybe even to become part of our church family? You know, ever since I was a kid, whether I was taking music lessons, going to school, playing sports, my parents always told me, you're only going to get out of it what you put into it. What are you going to put into your spiritual growth this year? It's a question only you can answer. It may be a little uncomfortable, but hey, that's my job. They say that the job of the preacher is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. And if you're here today a little comfortable, my job is to kind of stir that up a little bit. I don't know how you'll answer this question, but I challenge you to step up your growth this year and do something you haven't been doing so that you grow closer to your relationship to the Lord, so that you become better equipped to not only know His Word, but to be able to explain it and share it with other people. Again, you don't have to know everything, but you have to have the heart to be willing to share what you know so that God's church can grow. Would you pray with me, please? Father, once again, we thank you for the blessings of 2025. We thank you for the way that you've helped us to grow in strength and stature, but also in knowledge of your word and in obedience to it. And Father, we thank you for new families that you brought to us this year. And we pray as they become part of this church family that they will step up their growth as well. But Father, help us to pursue you in such a way that if you wrote a letter to us, like you write to the churches of Revelation, that we can hear words of encouragement and not condemnation. Help us, Father, to be the church that pursues you with our first love, not doing things out of duty or obligation, not taking things for granted, but help us pursue you in a way that shows you that we love you, that we serve you, and that we want to bring others to come to know you too. But Lord, there's a lot of distractions in this world, and I just pray that you'll help us to be able to set the sparkly things aside, set the things that seem to be terribly urgent aside so we can focus on what's most important. Help us to put you first. Help us to put the first things first. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response?
All the things that I've held dear, the vanities that whispered in my ear, what would I do if they all disappeared? Riches and fame and all that they could buy, I've come to find they never satisfy.
What would I gain? That's my sole surprise. I don't wanna love what the world loves. I don't wanna chase what the world does. I only want you. I only want you. First things first, I seek your will, not my own. Surrender all my wants to you. Keep the first thing first. To live your truth, walk your desires reverse to keep the first thing.